Sunday morning brings the dawning. Every now and again, I remember circumstances when we were on the road and we played this and we played that, and how irritated we all were with each other and playing, and how there was always something more important that we should be doing than. But we had music, and so we put it in there.
You came from a classical background and with minimalist and contemporary classical influences. What was it about rock and roll, or about that band, or working with Lou, that made you think, I can sort of realise my creative ambition here?
Well, I was deep in the avant-garde, which was, I was devoted for a year and a half. We just worked on the drone. And then the Beatles happened. And lo and behold, I suddenly remember I have totally missed out on my childhood, you know, my childhood. I missed out on my teenage years. I said, what's going on here? And I didn't remember rock and roll sounding like the Beatles. And it was all very exciting. I thought, wow. I got invited to a party at Pickwick Records. And there was somebody there that what Pickwick Records was doing was they were putting out albums of music in the style of the Mersey beat, of the Liverpool sound. And lo and behold, it was Lou who was writing all of this stuff. He wasn't happy about having to write all this stuff because he had other material that he said, they won't let me do it. And I sort of set alarms off in my head. They won't let you do it? What's that mean? The record company just didn't want songs about Venus and Furs. Then he brought sheets of lyrics, there were poems. And he said, this is, what, and they were all written on acoustic guitar. I didn't like the acoustic. I said, we could really do something expansive with this, something really hard edge. And I didn't know how it was going to work out with a drone or any of that, but to present ourselves as somebody with a vision, and we certainly did. I mean, we just sort of were determined, was he stubborn about putting the drone in here. And the thing that really appealed to me most of all about the way that the two of us related as musicians was his ability to improvise words. He was just amazing improvising. Down he sins of streetlight fancies,
chase the costumes she shall wear. When words and music work together, I mean, there's just something magical there that's hard to explain. Are you sort of saying that the words were inspiring the flow of the music, or they were just so intertwined?
Yeah, they're very much intertwined. You never know. You just have to be ready for whichever one points the direction and follow it. When we got together, we just jammed. And the formula was really around the viola, that really you try and do as many as you can around the viola. Suddenly, there was the drone as the tapestry behind every song. We understood what Chuck Berry and that kind of rock and roll, guitar-based rock and roll, was all about. But then there was Phil Spector that we were in awe of, and Bob Dylan. Until we got to Venus and until we got to Black Angel's Death Song, we didn't quite know where we were. But the minute that Venus happened and All Tomorrow's Parties happened, I knew there was something there that you know, that nobody else could do.
Tell us about Nico, because that was Andy's thing, wasn't it, to begin with, to bring her in. And
yeah, I think it's probably Paul's idea, because Paul didn't think that Lou could sing. He said, they're not really that good looking, are they? It'd be great to have Nico, because Nico's blonde and just like smashing. And everybody in the band said, what? But then Lou fell totally in love with Nico and wrote some of the prettiest songs he'd ever written. Because everybody knows the thing she does to please. Having Andy along did sort of cast another glow on things, because all of a sudden there was something happening with Andy that was really publicity oriented. No matter what he did, he like attracted publicity like crazy. And all of a sudden the art world was paying attention. And who are these guys that are doing this music? And the mixture of media and music just started a whole other trend. A lot of people in the factory knew about me from Lamont. It was a protected atmosphere over there. And this was before the Stonewall. And there was some really flaming creatures around. They were just incendiary and very creative and hilarious. People would walk around the factory singing all Maria Callas arias, you know. There's a lot of character.
I read Mary Woronoff's book a few months ago, and it was just, it shaved years off my life vicariously.
That's a good book, though.
Yeah, the sound of the band sort of just captures that time, doesn't it, and that atmosphere. How controversial was that at the time, you know, to be singing about these things, singing about drugs? And
There was a lot of competition about how controversial we were going to be, because you're thinking about the time when Lenny Bruce was in the clubs, trying to talk about law and taking a lot of speed and to the audience and talking right over the heads of the audience, but glimmers of humour coming out every once in a while, but really dark most of the time.
People must have been ready for it in some ways as well.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of information coming out, and there were a lot of people doing different things. People stuck with Lenny Bruce and listened to those lectures on law, you know, that I'm sure even he understood what they were. But I mean, and mind expansion was the name of the game of the day, you know, like LSD and all. So you had that kind of thinking going, oh, let's expand our mind. These guys are trippy, let's go. Then they find themselves up against some pretty hardcore lyrics that were somewhat unforgiving. I mean, everybody tried to pin us with drug dealing and saying, hey, they didn't bother to read the lyrics.
Well, there's a humanity in it as well. That's what's so special about it.
Yeah, I thought this was written by a very good Democrat. You know, no Republican would write lyrics like this. And we were all good Democrats in that way. When I'm
rushing on my run. In terms of the lyrics, how can you see this was Lou's sort of setting himself up as the songwriter that he would become, the lyricist that he would become, because you have characters on there, don't you, in these sort of narratives? And
yeah, they were all around. He was talking about what was happening at the time. And that's when he was best, when he was making up lyrics. I mean, in the end, he became, I think he lost interest in making, it can weigh you down, making up lyrics all the time about what's going on. I'll be your man.